Well, this is the fourth in a series that we've been doing. The main text was in Mark 6:31. We don't need to look that up. But the main text was, and we started there 3 weeks ago, "Come away with me." Jesus invited his disciples to leave the noise and the people and come away with him. Week two, "Come to me, all who labor and find rest." And week three was "The Shepherd Who Restores," Psalm 23. So today, this next step is to move from restoration to abiding. You're moving from being whole and forgiven and redone in your heart and life to abiding in Christ. So we are not only restored by Christ, we remain healthy. We remain healthy in our spiritual life and even in our physical life because of our closeness to Christ. So the title today is "Abiding with Me," and we're going to read John 15, 1 to 11, and it's a very familiar text. And if you say, "You preached on this before," I'll say, "You're right." But it's a totally different one than how I did it before. So chapter 15 of John, verse 1 through 11. "I am the true vine. My Father is the one who cares for the vine. He takes away any branch in me that does not give fruit. Any branch that gives fruit, he cuts back so it will give more fruit. You are made clean by the words I have spoken to you." And that's important. That we are made clean by the words, the word of God that has been spoken to us, we're made clean by that. Because it's like, you know, Jesus, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. How does God speak to you? He speaks to us through his scriptures and through the scriptures. And he impresses those texts upon us. And when those texts are impressed upon us, it's God confirming his word to us. He said in Sunday school that, this is kind of a new understanding for myself, maybe it's right or maybe it isn't, but the promises of God. It's like whenever we pray, we pick a promise and pray that God would bless that promise to our life, okay? Well, I thought of it in the context that the promises are not out there somewhere. The promises are like the promises of what God wants to do are right before us. And sometimes it's like a piano, and then I just thought of an organ that has like three or four shelves of and pulls and slide, you know, and you got to have this master's doctorate in organology. That's a new one. So you got to have a doctorate to know which button to push and which key to push. Well, all of those keys represent a promise. And whenever you are praying and you're asking God to be with you and you're playing the symphony from the promises that God is working in your life, and we find that it's something that God is putting together. You know, we may not think it, but all of those promises are there, and so God is waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to touch the key, to push the button, and to, you know, how that we can bring it together. And all of that comes as a symphony for our life. So don't ever hold back in your prayers. Don't ever hold back from asking. The scripture says, "You have not because you ask not." My dad never told me that. So you go home. I tell you what I want, Mom, Dad. So, all right, I don't even know where I was at. He cuts back so it will give more fruit. Verse 3, "You made me clean by the words I have spoken to you. Get your life from me and I will live in you. No branch can give fruit by itself. It has to get life from the vine. You are able to give fruit only when you have life from me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Get your life from me. Then I will live in you and you will give much fruit. You can do nothing without me. Verse 6. If anyone does not get his life from me, he is cut off like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you get your life from me and my words live in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Now that is a text I don't think we like to hone in on and say, well, if you get your life from me, so you're connected, the vine and the branches, you're a branch and you're connected to the vine, the Christ is the vine, and Jesus, the vine, is telling us, you can bear fruit, and I want you to know, you can ask anything you want of me, and I will give it to you. That's quite a declaration. You can ask anything. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to give it to you. we ask amiss. But we can expect and we can believe that God is working for us and his will be accomplished in our life. So, when you give much fruit, my Father is honored. This shows you are my followers. I have loved you just as my Father has loved you. Stay in my love. If you obey my teachings, you will live in my love. This way I have obeyed my Father's teaching and live in his love. I have told you these things so my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. All right, so if we put all this together, the bottom line is Jesus says, I've told you all of this so that my joy, the joy that Christ has, would be in our life. So the Christian life is not sustained by striving, making it work. It is sustained by abiding in Christ, the branch connected to the vine. So many people think that the Christian life is measured by activity. We fill our calendars with meetings, responsibilities, and committees. Even in ministry, it is possible to become busy for God while neglecting time with God. So it's important that we recognize and value how much time we spend with God. See, time with God, there is a stirring in the soul. And I liken it to that the song, I'm Desperate for You. That in our soul, there's this desperation for God. But it doesn't mean that bad things are going to happen, the world's coming to an end. It means that I'm wanting to walk with God and I'm wanting God to be in my life. And so hungering for spiritual nourishment, hungering and then thirsting for God. And it's important that we have this relationship where God, we abide in him and he abides in us. The fruit of a sleeping believer. Compromise, complacency, and spiritual numbness. This fruit of the awakened believer is repentance, obedience, and expectancy. Ask and it shall be given to you. There's this expectancy of what God wants to do in our life. And so if you have that piano, that organ, whatever, in front of you, and all of those keys are promises, what is it that God wants to bring into your life that will make your life better and make your life of service for God better? How is it going to help? Where's the strength and the power of God to do these things? Well, that's where we come to knowing what Christ says there in the first beginning, Mark 6:31. Come away and stay close with me. Come away with me, the disciples, and come away and spend time with him. So fruit is never the goal. Fruit is not the goal. What is the goal is abiding, being connected. Being connected with God is the importance because a fruit tree bears fruit naturally. You can't go out, and I know some people go out and talk to their trees. Some people talk to their flowers. That's lovely. But has good results. You know, I'm not going to tell you not to, but, you know, I wouldn't say go out and curse them, but... But it's important that we recognize that the fruit is the result of abiding. And so we're not chasing after fruit. We're wanting to be connected to Christ. And being connected to God is being connected through His Word and through your prayers and through our worship, which is an adoration and thanking God. You know, going out in the evening and looking at the stars and not choking on the smoke. And believing that God has good for you, and that's your worship. And it's like the God who created all this knows exactly where you are, and He's walking with you. And there can be people in China that are looking up at the stars, and they'll be looking at the sky, they'll be looking at the sun, different time. But anyhow, God is walking with them because He is everywhere present at the same time. So the fruit tree bears fruit naturally. An apple tree produces apples, a peach tree produces peaches. It is a natural product of the tree itself. Did you know that you are a tree, so to speak, and you are a special species? Does the species go with a tree? The species goes with animals, but I was wondering. But anyhow, you're a certain type of tree. And the fruit that you bear may be different than everyone else in your family or everyone else of your friends. The fruit of the tree that you are can change people, because there's people who are hungry for your fruit. And God has created you for that purpose. So because you're a little different doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose for you. It's just that your tree is different. And it has a certain group, certain people that you are wanting to reach. It was my friend from high school. He lives in Florida. He came back for a reunion, and there were five ministers in our graduating class, a high school class. Now the class had like 67, 68 kids in it. It had five preachers. And they weren't all preachers back in school, you know. And the friend asked me, he says, what is there that made all of you go into the ministry? What is it that made, you know, it's whatever, I don't know, I didn't talk to the other guys. One, he's in heaven already, but I haven't spoken to the others. But it's because you are unique to your soul. You are unique to the family of God. You know, the Bible says that we are part of the body of Christ. Some are a right hand, some are a left hand. Some are foot to toe, you know, an ear, an eye. I mean, you don't know, your purpose in the body is to take care of the body of Christ, and you are a part of it. So you can't, you know, the right hand can't say to the left, I wish I were you. No, doesn't work that way. So abiding in Christ is the natural outcome. Abiding, living, being attached to Christ is the natural outcome. So the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. What is God like? What if you were Jesus, if Jesus were sitting there beside you, what would He be like? Long beard and white robe and sandals. No. I don't think he'd be sitting in a suit and tie either. But what would he be like? His presence would be like love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit at their highest level. That's what his character would be. And you see, that's why we are connected to Christ, because that's what our character is to be. If we're struggling to be a Christian and we're struggling with our belief, well, we are doing it, trying to do it on our own. You can't be a Christian without Christ. You can't serve God without God being with you. And it takes God to help you be the Christian, to be the person. And He will change your life inside and out. He will give you the strength for the day. He will answer your prayers. He will guide you on the path of life. He will be there, and when troubles come, God is still there. And I spoke about it in Sunday school that I was doing this thing on Job. And Job, at the, you know, he's the wealthiest man in the world. And in a short time, an hour or even less, everything that he owns is gone. You know, people come in, raiders come in, stole the camels, you know, and he had like thousands of camels. Okay, I just why does he have camels? It's his trucking firm. he's a guy who travels, his camels travel all over the East, you know. They're a caravan of camels carrying goods. But anyhow, so he has this large camel herd and sheep and goats, and he has 10 kids, and they're all gone. The kids are killed, and all the animals are gone. And so Job, he's sitting on the ash heap, and he has boils, and he's scraping the boils with a broken pot shard, and he's, you know, it's the only relief he gets is scraping them. And his friends are trying to convince him, you have a secret sin. You know, it's always people who don't know what they're talking about like to talk. And so, if you are attached to the vine branch, you listen to those people, but I hear them, but it's not right. You just let it go. And Job, and Job didn't have any other books to read. There was no books at that time. He's considered the oldest book in the Bible. And he didn't have something to read to find out about God. He knew within his spirit what God was like. And he knew that God was not punishing. He didn't know why it happened, but God isn't punishing him for some sin. That was the thought of the time, and even today people say, well, if bad things happen to you, there's sin somewhere in your life. You know, people just can't understand that they can't understand God. So, when it's all said and done, God comes to Job and says, Job, you know, did you consider the stars? Who put them there? Were you there when I did this? Were you in the depths of the ocean when I made those grand fish? Are you able to see that I can hold the oceans in the palm of my hand? And we think, well, okay, God's just telling him, straighten out. No. God is letting him know that he is bigger than the difficulty, and that Job is safe because the God who created all this is Job's friend. He never finds out why it happened. You know, he's never told that, but he comes to a place of peace with it. And see, this is where our relationship with Christ goes. When we are desperate for God and there is this difficulty that we're finding, there is peace with God. I'm at peace with God. He's not punishing me. He's trying to work in my life to get rid of or maybe prune off some things, and he wants me to play the organ. He wants me to the symphony to ring out with the promises that he has put before me. He's not just we're not picking them and using them. We are using the keys to play this symphony of promise that God has before us, and so that those promises come into our life. It's in this place that we find that Jesus is the true vine. The vine, I am the vine, Jesus says. Throughout Scripture, Israel was the vine, but they never produced what they were supposed to. Jesus declares that he is the true vine, that everything needed for life flows through him. Everything that we need for life flows through him. That's where the source of life is. You know, a vine and a branch, if the branch isn't connected to the vine, the branch dies. Our life has to be connected to Christ. And when we are connected to Christ, we live, not only now, but for eternity. And we don't understand why somebody comes along, picks the fruit, or beats the limb, or whatever. But we know that God is with us, and that we are safe in the hands of God. People today still try to perform their way to God. They're trying performance. Look what I have done. It doesn't work. So one of the questions was, only what we need Christ in our life to accomplish. Okay? People who don't have Christ accomplish things. People who don't know Jesus do things, and good things and bad things, but they accomplish things. But through Christ, what we accomplish is going to last forever. What you do for Jesus in your talking, in your conversation, in your witness, whatever it is, in your prayers and the promises, whatever you do is going to last for eternity. I don't have time. Our life comes from Jesus, the vine. So, are we struggling to be a Christian? Then we're doing it the wrong way. If you're struggling, are you connected? We were at a party, a graduation thing yesterday, and they were trying to figure out why the electricity was off and blown a fuse, and they had all these pots, all lit up for food, and they went downstairs and went to the breaker, everything's working, and they checked it, plugged in, and then they had this power strip. They forgot to turn it on. You see, sometimes we forget to turn on the power strip. We forget to push the button to have us connected. So, my Father is the one who cares for the vine. God the Father prunes the vine. God the Father knows you. And so, God is actively tending your life. Did you think you were on your own? Did you think we were doing our own thing and nobody knows? God is tending our life. Like a husbandman, the person who takes care of the vineyard. I've never been around a vineyard, but I've seen films of them. And how, whenever they're done trimming them, you'd think they're never going to get anything out of that. But they know exactly what to do, where to trim, and you have all of these bunches of grapes. Have you ever see those big pumpkins in fields or at a fair? Some of them are like squash, and they're about 500 pounds. Do you know how they get that? They have one plant, and that whole vine, they cut off, take away every other pumpkin or every other squash. And that whole vine only has one squash to grow. That's how you get one to be so big, is that you've cut off the other ones. And so when God is pruning, He's pruning away things that will rob your life of its strength. He's pruning the things off that you don't need to live. You don't need them to live. God is your life and your source. And what He prunes and what He takes away is necessary so what is left will be very fruitful, very profitable. So pruning hurts. Pruning takes away pride, which is arrogance, self-reliance, self-sufficiency. Pruning takes away the distractions and the diversions that we have of our life, unhealthy relationships, hidden sins, those things unseen, and God is pruning. Every cut is made with our future in mind. Everything that God does for us in this pruning process is for our future, because God knows what you're supposed to be. He knows what's the plan. He knows what kind of tree you are. what type of fruit you will bear, and where you need to be and how you need to grow, and how that God will work in your life. And, you know, just like our class with five ministers, who would have thunk it? You know? But at the time, you know, never knew. So, abiding means, chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. So, that's a hard one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But the emphasis that Jesus has is abide in me. Stay connected. No matter what happens in life, stay connected. Don't break off. Don't allow things to break your limb. Don't allow things to tear you from the tree. Keep your connection with Christ, because he cares for you. And abiding means that we are lasting, we are dwelling, and that connection will take you through eternity. So living continually in fellowship with Christ. Abiding is more than attending church. It is walking with Jesus every day. We abide with Christ by praying, taking time to talk with God. Sometimes, I don't know how to pray. Well, talk to God. Well, what's on your mind? What do you need? What would you like to do? Can you praise? Can you thank him for the day, the sky, the health, whatever it is? Take time to talk to him. Scripture. You don't realize the scripture, the word made flesh and dwelt among us. The scripture is Christ. That he is the word of God, the word made flesh. And so knowing Jesus and knowing the word, we know the character and purpose of Christ. And there was always a purpose for the children of Israel. And when Jesus died on the cross, there was a purpose for his death and his resurrection. There was a purpose for the people who believed. And you and I are part of that purpose. There's a purpose for your life. And so we are allowing the Spirit to speak to our lives. So the scriptures, reading the scriptures, the Psalms, reading them, you know, it's hard to put into words the things that we feel. So this God's already given them to us in the Psalms and the Proverbs. Worship. Worship. Some people can't stop looking in the mirror. There's some politicians like that. I'm not going to say any. Obedience. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God in your life. Playing the music. You know, playing the symphony. Listening. So as Jesus requested the disciples to come away with me, he requests us to come away with him. Christian maturity is not measured by how much we know, or how much we can do, or how busy we are. It is measured by how closely we walk with Jesus. That's our goal. Walk with me. And Jesus tells us that we would have his joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Jesus is sharing with us his eternal joy. He stated that we are to know his word, stated that joy of God himself. Now, joy is not happiness. Happiness is created for, you know, it comes from happenings, things that happen, and we're happy with them. Joy is a deep-seated part of our spiritual being that it isn't affected by time or place or purpose or things going right or things going wrong. We know that the joy of God is Jesus, you know, count it all joy when you are persecuted. It's like, what? Well, happiness wouldn't be that way, but joy is. Because we're suffering what Christ suffered. And it's like we're being one with him. So it's a whole different perspective. We don't know about that in our lives. But people in other countries, they, you know, in Africa, they slice them up with machetes, and, you know, because they're Christian. And so, but there's an understanding that my life is God's, and if I die, I'm going to heaven. You know, I don't want to go right now, but we know that there is a deep-seated joy that will take us through everything that we have in life. So, I jumped over about five pages. So we ask ourselves the question, are we too busy to abide, to kind of just stop and think about Christ? Am I trying to produce fruit that Christ is the one that produces and determines what fruit we will bear? Have I substituted activity for a close relationship? Do I have distractions that keep me from spending time with Jesus? What might God be pruning in my life? Jesus is still saying to us, come away with me. Come and be with me. Not for only a moment, but for a lifetime. This 23rd Psalm reminds us of the divine shepherd who leads and restores. So all of this is an invitation. I'm desperate for you. There's a desperation in our soul and our heart to know him and to walk with him. And God wants that to happen because he is the vine, we are the branch. He wants us to be connected. And we're desperate for a spiritual life that is not based on this earthly, this life of in our flesh. Christ is coming back. You know, the world is coming to an end. And that's not a scare tactic. That's just, you know, we are getting close. And, you know, maybe tomorrow may not be for 10 years. But Jesus, the things of our earth and the things of our time are coming together. One more illustration. The King of England, every year, he is supposed to recite that he is the defender of the Christian faith. Okay? This year, he took out Christian. I am a defender of faith. Took Christ, set him on the shelf. Christian is not important. It's all the faith that people have in the world. Just another thing for people to not have Christ in their life and set it up for a false Christ. So the world is changing, but God is in charge. God is with us. So let's bow our heads. For 30 seconds, let's just think about what it is that Jesus is speaking to us. I think of the song, I'm desperate for you. That being, wanting to be that close to Jesus, it's important for our life. So let's all stand. So take what was in your mind, put together there by the Holy Spirit, and it'll be different for each one because you're a different tree. I won't say how different, but you're a different tree. Jesus, we are grateful to you and thank you that you have called us to the kingdom of God for such a time as this, that each one of us has our purpose. You designed us for a purpose to serve you and to serve the community. You've put together an individual that can go forth and bring the message of Christ in their work of service for you. So I ask your blessing upon our lives, upon our families. Let the Spirit of God flow through us and bring peace to us and to those we are around. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.